Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's words as we pray. God of wisdom, send your Holy Spirit to us as we listen for your word. Inspire us through what we hear to act with courage and compassion we experience in Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 13, found on pages 1799 to 1800. And it'll also be on the screen. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to my children, open wide your hearts also. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we give you this time to hear from your word. Let the meditations of my mouth be pleasing to you, and let each of us, the speaker and the hearer, be attentive to what you would have for us this day. In your son's name, amen. It's June, and summer has begun. School is out, the propane tank for the barbecue has been filled, sunscreen from last year has been refound, marshmallows for summer s'mores have been purchased, berries in Oregon are ripening, and the days are gloriously long. For me, summer always brings to mind summer camp. By show of hands, how many of you attended a summer camp sometime in your life? My summer camp experience was at a YMCA camp on the shores of Long Lake in northern Wisconsin, aptly named Camp Manitou. Now, summer camps often have camp songs dedicated to them to build a sense of community and to remind the campers of who they are going to be that week that they are at camp. And Camp Manitou was no different. And after 60 years, I can still sing with gusto the Manitou Riser. We are from Manitou, Manitou, best camp in the land, joy at every hand. We are from Manitou, Manitou, that's where the good girls go. Let me tell you, I have still not figured out what he meant by this is where the good girls go. I think it was trying to, you know, be a Midwestern, this is how you're going to behave this week. But today's Old Testament scripture is also a song. a song that was sung by God's people on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, a song that reiterated to them who they were as a communal people. Psalm 133 is one of the songs of ascent, traditionally sung by Jewish pilgrims as they travel to the temple 3 times a year for festivals. The pilgrims would sing the songs on the uphill road to the city, and can't you imagine that they needed some songs to sing as they were trudging up to the temple? The songs of ascent are attributed to King David, and they reminded the Israelites, God's people, of God's grace, his mercy, his provision, his protection, his salvation of them time and time again. The songs would have been known to the singers regardless of their age, their tribe, their village, or their walk of life. Psalm 133 is very short. It's just 3 verses, made by combining a proverb or a wisdom saying with rich, worshipful, liturgical words. Listen now to the word of God. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling down on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life evermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The singers of Psalm 133 might have thought of their own families when they were singing verse 1. The solidarity of the family was fundamental to Israel's social and religious structure, ensuring stability. Perhaps the singers would have often thought that the first verse was in reference to the reunification of the nation of Israel. But today, let's marry the psalm with the verses and the words of Jesus found in Mark 3:31-34. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside and are looking for you." "Where are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, shares these words when writing on Psalm 133. His words further flesh out Jesus' answer to the crowd. Peterson writes, "There are Christians, of course, who never put their names down on a membership list. There are Christians who refuse to respond to the call of worship each Sunday. There are Christians who say, 'I love God, but I hate the church.' But they are members all the same, whether they like it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not. For God never makes private, secret salvation deals with people. His relationships with us are personal, yes. Intimate, true, but private, no. We are among brothers and sisters in faith. No Christian is an only child. We are called, all of us, to live life together in community, in unity. And it is in unified community that God's blessings overflow, consecrating us, renewing us. But life together in unity is not easy. Perhaps the first verse of Psalm 133 should really read, "How good and pleasant and difficult it is when people live together in unity." We only have to be in a relationship or in a family to know that. Peterson, however, goes on to ask this. So the question is not, am I going to be part of a community of faith? But how am I going to live in this community of faith? How are you and I to live united in a community of faith when the very institution of church as we know it is changing? When culture wars dominate the news feeds, when the demands of life take us away from meeting regularly for worship, when disunity is the norm, how are we going to live together as a family of faith, much less a unified family of faith? I would like to make three suggestions that you and I might together adopt as we strive to live together in unity as followers of Jesus, with the hope that as we live in unity as a family of faith, what we share together will be like the sweet, sweet, fragrant oil poured out and running down Aaron's beard. And as refreshing as the dew flowing from the misty peaks of Mount Hermon to the parched landscape of Zion. The first thing I'd like us to consider is this: listen to learn. James, Jesus' half-brother, says this in his letter to the 12 tribes of Israel. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Have you ever listened to someone and found yourself composing your retort, your response, your reply before they were ever finished speaking? Or found yourself so eager to jump in with your own story before theirs was done? And I have to confess, that is one of my faults. I get so excited that I'm already ready with my response and my story to share. Or have you ever felt yourself getting angry over the opinion of the speaker and what he was sharing or she was sharing, because frankly, you found their thoughts to be wrong, ill-informed, or ignorant, and you just stopped listening to them? James wrote in his words in AD 40 to 50, and that sentiment would be later reiterated in Stephen Covey's book, The Seven Habits of Effective People. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Could you and I learn to listen with intentionality, curiosity, humility, and respect, really hearing the words of the speaker and even hearing what is behind the words that are spoken, so that the speaker feels understood, heard, and seen? Let us, as people of Christ, learn to listen as we listen to learn. Our second consideration: lift up prayers in love. Have you ever wondered what might be one of the most important pieces in our bulletins, our newsletters, our emails as a congregation? Is it the announcements of what's happening in the church? Our financial update? What's going to be the order of worship? I think perhaps it's one that we often overlook: the listing of the prayer needs of our family of faith and of the world. I must admit that I am often guilty of reading the prayer needs but not noting them someplace where I will see them on a regular daily basis. And my memory isn't such anymore that I can remember always what I've read. If we want to be united and brothers and sisters, we need to commit to lifting each other up regularly and repeatedly in prayer. Paul in Ephesians 6 says this, "Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out." Our call is to pray. Our call is to be the ones offering words in prayer when the recipient of our prayer has none. Our call is to pray and pray and pray again until we hear that that prayer is no longer needed. Our call is to act on the words we so glibly say, "Oh, I'll pray for you." Our call is to be the one joining in prayers of thanksgiving when prayers are answered. As people of Christ, let us learn to love to pray for others as we lift up prayers in love. And lastly, live with Christ in the center. I remember in 2020 talking to my brother-in-law, who informed me that he was no longer going to daily frequent Starbucks because of their stand on an issue. I replied that I was no longer purchasing a brand of beans because of the statements of the company's president. Our light-hearted banter went back and forth, but it underscored some differences on what we thought politically. But the two of us decided that we should let each of us have our own opinions, because what was mattered for my brother-in-law and myself was the unity we felt as a family. This is very much a time of polarizing views. People with differing views that may be seated in the same pew as ours, in our same Bible studies, in our same offices or schools, in our same families. We want those with different viewpoints than ours to come around to thinking like us, and then we'd all be unified. The church, however, is not a doctrine or an idea or a theological viewpoint. The church is Christ himself. Living in the center is not meeting in the middle or insisting on the veracity of our own viewpoint, but each of us recognizing the person of Christ in the other. We choose as followers of faith to believe in the words of Paul. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in all. As people of Christ, let us see Christ in the center of others so that we live with him in the center of ours. And as we live in unity, his blessings flow over us like the fragrant oil found in the Old Testament that consecrated the priest or welcomed the guest to the table. In unity, we become like that oil whose fragrance is so sweet that it beckons others to step into this community also. The blessing of new life represented by the dew falling down and reaching the parched lands of Zion reminds us of the new life that is found in each of us as Jesus Christ is at the center of our lives. And that refreshment that we have with Jesus Christ flows from us when we are unified to others searching for that same living water. Our psalm ends with this. Yes, that's where God commands blessing, ordains eternal life. It is in unity that Yahweh, the God that was and is and ever will be, ordains what eternal life is. Peterson suggests that Psalm 133 throws out a hint of heaven, and it is a place of rousing good fellowship. Peterson continues with these words, "Heaven is where relationships are warm and expectancies fresh. We are already beginning to enjoy the life together that will be completed in the life everlasting, which means that heaven is nothing quite so much as a good party. Assemble in your imagination all the friends you enjoy being with the most, the companions who evoke the deepest joy, your most stimulating relationships, the most delightful of shared experiences, the people with whom you'd feel completely alive, and I would add, the people that you are surprised that are there or hoped wouldn't be there." That is a hint of heaven, for there God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. So beginning today, let you and let me make his kingdom this party come on earth as it is in heaven by listening to learn, lifting up prayers in love, and living with the Christ as our center, as we endeavor to be people for whom it is said, it is good and pleasant when God's people live in unity. Let you and I live together in unity so that others are drawn to join us in the family of faith, the eternal party, the dance of love, and where we will all sing together, "We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." May that be our song on our journey. Pray with me. Gracious God, we come to you needing each week the reminder that we were created for community and to be in community. Thank you for the gift of inviting us to your holy dance. We come needing to find you as seen in the people with whom we share a pew, a cup of coffee, and a life story. Thank you for drawing us to one another and blessing us with the fragrant oil of life found in unity with you. Our hearts grieve this week as once again our news feed was filled with yet another mass shooting this weekend, this time at a grocery store where ordinary people were doing ordinary tasks, and also at a place where people went to celebrate. We don't have the words anymore, so we pray wordlessly, asking your son to intervene on their behalf. Our hearts grieve for places where continued conflict upends life, and children grow up knowing the sounds of warfare instead of the quietness of peace. We grieve for those who are undergoing the wait for medical diagnoses, the wait for whether treatment was successful, and for those whom the prognosis is there's nothing more we can do. Fill them with the surety of your peace and presence. Lord, as we step into summer in an increasing political arena, make us people who keep you at the center and see each other, every other, through your lens. As we step into this week, fill our calendars with holy interruptions, and let us not fail to see them as opportunities to be your hands and feet and listening ears. We thank you for this fellowship of followers who each week seeks to be a family of faith united and rooted in you. Amen.